Anti alcoholic. First off, thank you, Glenn, through Justin, for asking me to come out and speak tonight. It is an honor and a privilege. Speak anywhere, to be asked to do anything, to be alive, to be sober, to be of service, and I'm definitely grateful. So thank you guys. Even the drive, I was sort of apprehensive about the drive. I'm kind of a bum. I like to stay within about 5 miles from my house because I'm lazy. But even the drive was pleasant. The sun caught me a couple times, and the clouds opened up so I could see the coast. And you know what? Life is good. It's beautiful to be at an AA meeting in Malibu. You know, things could be a lot worse. Let's see here. So much time and so little to say. Well, let's get into it. I want to tell you, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I am a huge fan of this program. I want to thank our first speaker, Jason. Jason, you did a great job. A lot of the same things you read are the things that are highlighted in my book, and I totally relate. You know, our stories are different and yet the same. You know, I can relate to pretty much anyone in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting if I look for it. So as I said, I love this program. I'm a big fan. I'm an AA cheerleader, and I will tell you that that was not always the case. You know, when I first got here, I was kind of anti. I was not a big fan of you guys and wanted nothing to do with this place. You guys were kind of freaking me out. But we'll get into that. I love to drink. Go figure. I am a huge fan of alcohol in all its splendid forms. I don't remember my first drink. I really don't. I wish I would have. I wish I would have had someone film it, and I could have showed you like a video or something. It would have been a lot more helpful, because I really don't know what happened. I do remember some of the earlier times when I drank, and I didn't like the taste. I tasted beer, but I was a good little alcoholic. I practiced. You know, beer didn't taste good, but I was going to find it. I was going to find the one that did. I tried wine. Wine was kind of weird. I tried various kinds of hard liquor, and some burned. Some made me feel woozy. The woozy was cool, but the spins were not, and you know, throwing up wasn't my, I wasn't a fan, you know, not at first. You know, as time goes on, you're sort of stoked when you throw up, but weird how it works out. But not in the beginning. I was very young. I think I was around 10 or 11 is my guess. Then I found it. I stumbled upon it. You know, maybe it found me. I don't know. I found a little lovely invention by two gentlemen named Bartles and James, and I was on my way. For those of you that are young, I'm speaking of wine coolers. Boy, a real manly drink. I can tell you that I was highly respected in elementary school and junior high. They thought I was a real man's man. I'm totally lying right now. I was known as the wine cooler wuss, and I would show up to my friend's house, or I would show up to a friend's house or the little party, and I'd have my 4-pack of pina coladas, and I would quickly be held up to ridicule. And you know what? By the fourth one, I really did not care, because I was drunk. It happened, you know, that feeling. And I chased that feeling from day one to day none. You know, I just wanted to never feel me again, you know. And I had a great childhood. You know, I was raised by my mom, a single mom. She had me when she was 19. She walked high school graduation, the graduation, she was bun in the oven. You know, a month after 19, here I come. I don't quite think I was planned to call me crazy, you know. And mom and I got to grow up together, and it was an adventure, you know. It still is, and I'm a huge fan of my mom, and we have such an amazing relationship. And, you know, she taught me so much. She continues to teach me so much, and I love that woman. She's my favorite person, you know. Boy, let's go that route tonight. How'd that happen? Anyway, so I love my mom. Hey, all right. So So we grew up together, and it was fun, you know. And I was raised with manners. I was raised to that crying was cool, and I found out that's not cool. Again, made fun of, you know. I was a funny kid. I was kind of, I still am. I'm kind of peculiar. You know what I mean? I'm a strange brew. You know what I mean? Like, something different about Richie. And I just turned 30 in January. I'm finally starting to get comfy with me. You know, after a lot of step work, a lot of program, a lot of meetings, a lot of friends, a lot of sponsorship, I'm finally starting to be okay with me. But growing up, it was weird. You know, I felt funny. I was very intelligent. I scored well on those Golden State exams, and you give me a number 2 pencil and a bubble test, and I'm probably going to do all right, you know, like not too shabby. I was popular. I knew everyone. Everyone seemed to love me. I was athletic. I played sports, and yet it was weird. You know, I just, it didn't sit right, you know, and I don't know if I was really looking for a way out. I probably was, and it just found me, you know. For me, it was wanting to belong. You know, I just wanted to, I wanted you to like me. I wanted everyone to like me, you know. That's still the case. A lot of my nerves from speaking, it's because I don't want you to think I'm weird. You know what I mean? I don't want you to call me names. It stems from, like, basic childhood stuff, you know. I don't want that weird wine cooler wuss nickname, you know. I want you to think I'm cool. I want to thank also my friends for coming out. I had a lot of friends travel out here to come support me tonight, and thank you. Giving up lots of fun parties and things, and they came to hear me, you know, and they've heard me. And my sponsor, thank you for coming out. I've got such a loving sponsor, and he's here, and I'm blessed, you know. I am blessed. My sponsee, the lineage, you know. We stay here. A lot of people, you hear stories about a lot of people going out, not making it, relapse, this and that. You know what? On the flip side of that, there's a lot of people that stay, and I'm glad that the first speaker, Jason, brought that up. You know, a lot of people stay, and I've stayed, you know, after some slips. But I stayed. Let's see here. So I found wine coolers. And then, as you know, like I said, I'm a good little alcoholic. I practiced drinking. You know, much like this program tasted funny when I got here. I was not a fan, you know, just like the beer, the wine, and the hard liquor. But then you learn to love it, you know, you just get into it. And I got into it. I really did. it took off. I will tell you that I did a lot of other stuff throughout my little short-lived career. I will mention that I'm only going to speak about alcohol mainly because I don't want anyone here to feel like you need to do those other things to feel you belong. If you're here and you're questioning what you do, and if it's not working, or if you got a court card, or your family, or rehab, or whatever it is, welcome. You know, chances are you might have some things to take a look at. I'm just guessing. You know, I didn't get here on a winning streak. I believe me, this was the last choice that I was looking for, and this illness, as I've been told, is progressive, and it progressed pretty quick with me. It took off like gangbusters, you know, from the gate, and I got into a lot of trouble behind my drinking. I hurt a lot of people. I love one of the things that Jason read, the definition of an alcoholic, which is if when you want to stop and you find you cannot, chances are you may be an alcoholic. And the other side of that is when you start and you can't control how much you have, chances are you might be an alcoholic. You know, I used to think it was about the amount. Because I come to these rooms and, oh, I spilled more than you drank. Bro, you don't know what you're doing. I see people with teardrop tattoos and spider webs and, like, you know what I mean? Like, just big dudes, and they're angry, and, you know, and they're talking about shooting up in their eye. And I'm thinking, you know what, like, I got into this gang fight, and then it popped off and you know, in jail, and, you know, I lost 2 fingers in the fight. My nickname's Ocho. And you're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. You know what I mean? Like, you're freaking me out. you know, I got here really young. Things fell apart pretty quick, and I lost sight of who I was. You know, the best thing that alcohol gave me, the best thing that drinking gave me, was an attitude of I don't care. It allowed me to just exhale, you know. The shoulders would loosen up. And all I wanted to do every time was just get that first feeling, just that edge off, you know. It's Christmas Eve. I gotta see the family tomorrow. It's been a while. Oh, that's right, I did that thing. I'm just gonna have one. Just one. And I would draw that line in the sand. I'm just gonna have one, or not tonight. You know? And eventually I'd cross those lines, and I'd either draw new ones right next to me and cross those shortly thereafter, or I would draw them next week. You know, if it was Christmas, oh, New Year's. Oh, my birthday. Oh, Valentine's Day. You know what? Next New Year's, you know? And you just start skipping it, and you're like, Uncle, ollie ollie oxen free, I'm over this. I fell apart pretty quick, you know? Our stories are different in that regard. Like, everyone has their unique little individual snowflake story, but we're all snow and we all belong here. And my little story was so cute and unique and special, and then I realized it's just like everyone else's. It stopped working. And I still got drunk, but my head wouldn't stop. And I couldn't maintain. I hit the first step. You know, I hit my bottom, which was I was actually willing, because I had come to these rooms. I ran into an old friend at a coffee shop, you know, in West LA. I said, hey, I remember you. I was like, hey, you want to get a drink? And he's like, oh, I don't do that. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, okay, so no to Del Saloon. All right. I didn't really know where to go from there. I'm like, okay. Good to see you. You know, he's like, all right, we started talking, and he's like, I'm in this thing called AA. And I had heard those two letters put together before, and I just didn't know, I'd never had a thought pro or con, and I just didn't know what he was talking about. I guess it had to do with not drinking, but I didn't even know that, you know, and I just said, okay, that's weird. I don't know why you would choose to do that. And so we started hanging out. He took me to my first meeting. It was Thanksgiving morning at the log cabin at 7:30 a.m. I think it was 1998. There is nothing more grateful than an alcoholic at a 7:30 a.m. meeting, except for an alcoholic at a 7:30 a.m. meeting on Thanksgiving. They're even that much more grateful. And boy, they want to shake hands. They want to hug you. And they're just so awake and ready. And I've been up all night. And I feel out of place. And I found out that AA was not for me. That day I found out AA is not for me. You guys shake hands too much. You can't stop clapping. And, you know, and I don't like hugging. Everyone wanted my phone number, too, and I thought that was weird. I thought you guys got the memo that my phone got shut off, and, like, it was a joke on me. Like, ha, ha, ha. So I wasn't too keen on this whole Alcoholics Anonymous thing. I didn't go back, you know. The time did come where I finally, it hurt, you know. I was willing to look at it. And that's what I mean by a bottom. I was actually willing to look at a different solution, you know, because whatever I was doing wasn't working. And that was tough for me to come to grips with, you know. So I went to some meetings. The fifth day I went to a men's stag. And at that men's stag, I wigged out. Not in front of anybody, but in my mind, I was gone. I'm out. And I told my friend I'm out. I dropped him off. I hung in there till the evening. I went to work. After work, I got my free meal because I was waiting tables at Lulu's Alibi. I got my free meal. I went across the street because I'd won a lottery scratcher. 25 bucks, right? Real big money. We're not talking $2 or a ticket. That's cash. You know? I mean, 20 and 5. That's money. So I went to cash it in so triumphantly. I slide it across the counter at 7-Eleven, and I look at him with just that look of like, yeah, what's up now? You've never seen money like that. Winnings. And the guy looks at me just unamused, you know, like, all right, kid, what do you, you know? And he says, he got me. He was like, do you want money or do you want more tickets? I'm a gambling man, you know? I mean, I'm like, let's get more tickets. And so turns out two tickets later, I won 500 bucks. And I was no longer powerless. My life was not unmanageable. things were good. We're good. Don't need this AA thing. I've got $500. Thank you. Seems like it worked. I started looking at the, you know, what island I was going to buy. And you know, what I was going to do with my winnings, and I didn't do much with my winnings. I spent them all the next day, and I was wasted. Done. All gone. I had plans of paying off certain things and doing right with my money, and that didn't happen. I later tried sobriety again. You know, that time hit where things got worse. Because at that time I said, like, if I go out and it gets bad, I'll come right back. I know, at least now I know where to go. This AA thing. You guys aren't going anywhere. You guys are suckers. You know? Me, I'm going to go check this out because I don't think I got this thing. You know? It's not for me. And the funny thing was, when I went out and it started to get bad, I didn't have that choice anymore. And I couldn't come back. And everything inside me said, dude, come back. And I couldn't. I couldn't bear to do it, you know? So the time did come where I finally got beat up again. You know, I just got beat up. And what I would do when I was out is, you guys know. You know, you did it yourselves or you didn't. And if you didn't, you don't have to. Like, welcome. Stick around. It gets good here. I found out that the consequences of my past won't keep me sober. That no matter how ugly it was, if I keep remembering it, it won't keep me sober. That there's a lot more involved in sobriety. I also found out that not drinking is different than sobriety, you know, than working a program. See, not drinking to me sucks. You know what I mean? I'm not a fan. I love drinking. You know, that's what works. I can't show up to work. Life on the Natch is kind of funky. People want to have me show up on time. People want me to fulfill my responsibilities. They want me to call them back when they leave a message. People, when they ask me how am I doing, want me to respond in a respectful manner. These things are too much for me. I get a little overwhelmed. It's just too much, you know, and I wig out, and I don't mean to. I hurt feelings, I burn bridges, I steal from you, I lie, I manipulate. I tend to work, I get a job, right? I'm really good at this. I'll get a job, I'll start at the bottom, I'll come in like gangbusters and show you exactly who I am, and you're going to think I'm amazing, you're going to promote me, and then I'm going to rob you. Know how that works. My mom didn't teach me that. No one taught me that. I taught me that. That's some weird stuff right there. I don't know how that happens, but boy, I'm good at it, you know? And I just take everything out of the safe, you know? You give me keys to your store, it's my store now. Thank you. I do deserve this. You finally recognize how amazing I am. Thank you. And those consequences of, like, what happens due to that just don't keep me sober today, you know? I finally gave it a shot, you know? I was pretty tired. You know, I look at what brought me here and what was different. You know, this time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be different. And you know what? I don't know what was different. A little bit of me, my perception, pretty tired, pretty burnt out. I was about 95 pounds. I've got deep-set eyes, and drinking keeps me up. I like to drink for a long time. I like to go to real weird places. I like sawdust on the floor. I like really bad jukeboxes and 50-cent pool, maybe some darts and some funny characters. And that's home. I like a dingy smell, and I like to get weird. That's just who I am. It also turns out that a lot of the times I sweat a bunch. I'm really good at sweating. I'm really good at getting rid of all my clothes because they just feel so funky on me. And I'm good at creeping everyone out around me. That's me. I'm special. Yeah. It doesn't do well for, like, making friends, you know, and having them stick around. They want to get away from you, and who can blame them? I finally got tired. I was burnt, and I decided that it was time. And so I went to a meeting. You know, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous one more time, and I thought, you know what? Maybe this time it'll be different. And you know what? This time it was different. Before I had picked and choose, I'm a big I know what to do kind of guy. Those number two bubble test scores told me I'm pretty smart. wouldn't you know it, I'm not. I'm sort of below average intelligence when it comes to sobriety. I don't know much. I think I do. I think I know what's best for me. I come to something I know nothing about, AA, and I want to call shots. Oh, I know. People tell me, hey man, you should probably sit up in the front row. It seems like you get distracted easily. Probably pay attention if you're up close. Oh, I know. And that became my moment-to-moment mantra. You know, people are like, you should probably get a sponsor, kiddo. I don't know if you're going to be able to run the show on your solos. Oh, I know. You should go to 90 and 90. No, I know. And I'd hear the repetition. You guys tend to say the same thing at every meeting, I found out. I'm almost 9 years sober, and I'm catching on. You guys repeat yourselves quite a bit. And I started catching on to the lingo, and boy, I can repeat it well. I can look pretty good for an hour, hour and a half at a meeting. Look like I have it down. I can show you that I'm the man, and it's all under control. You know what? I'm not too good at that. You know, happy birthday to all the birthday people. That blows me away that we stay here that long. You know, two guys met in a house in Akron, Ohio, 75 years ago. And here we are in Malibu, California, on a Saturday night. All of us, bunch of weirdos. What is this? How is this even possible? You know? How do you draw that line? I look at the guy that came in here, you know, me. When I came in here, June 21st, 2001, the first day of summer, the longest day of the year. So fitting. I didn't think it was going to end. I just wanted 24 hours. And I look at that boy that walked in, that scared, uncomfortable, desperate child. And to see who I am now. And I mean, I'm a little more mature than that. I've come to find out I'm like a junior high school girl now. If you stay sober long enough, you find out who you really are. With enough step work, the onion peels. And what you find is kind of weird sometimes. Boy, I'm emotional. My mom taught me crying is cool, and you know what? It's stuck. I can't stop. It's funny. Sobriety is a trip. I came to my first meeting back, and I had a lot to say. They had participation. At this point, I didn't have a place to live. I'd been fired from that job I robbed. Who'd have thunk? And I went to a meeting, and I shared about how I needed a place to live. I needed a job. I needed money. I needed food. I needed necessities. And they said, sit in the front row, kid. You're going to be just fine. Make sure you hear the speaker and help us put away chairs and pick up cigarette butts. At the end of the meeting, you're going to be just fine. And I checked to see if the mic was on because I did. I'm sorry. Did you guys hear me? I'm talking about necessities, things I need, and you guys are giving me semantics. I don't know. If I put away chairs and pick up cigarette butts, are you going to pay me, or how does that work? Because I need a place to stay tonight. I'm not getting this. And they said, no, we heard you, Richie. Your problem is you worry about all the stuff, and sobriety is secondary. And if you stick around here long enough, whether or not you do the stuff, you'll get some of those things. But if you don't do the steps, if you don't work this program fully, you will relapse again and you'll lose all that stuff again. And you'll do that over and over, you know, and Jason read about that. And this cycle was repeated over and over again. Unless I can experience an entire psychic change, that's a big deal, you know. And they just summed up in that one little description, that short description, they summed up my last 5 years, 6, 10, maybe 10 years. Because I'd done it over and over, and I thought, man, you know what? Maybe they know what they're talking about, as crazy as it is. Because I knew if I stuck around at the end of the meeting, put away chairs, and picked up cigarette butts, I wouldn't miraculously have a place to stay. I'm doing the math. It's not adding up. You guys in AA are crazy. But I didn't know what to do. So I sat down and just said, okay. I gave up on having the answer of being in control and knowing what I knew. And I knew what I knew. And yet I stuck around. And at the end of the meeting, this guy said, you can stay with me for 2 weeks, no longer. And I slept on a mound of cat hair. I'm allergic to cats. And I wake up all thuffed up. And I put on this navy suit. And he was a tennis instructor, so he was out at 6 a.m. And he's like, if I'm out at 6 a.m., that means you're out at 6 a.m. And I was like, oh, like he doesn't trust me, you know, the 95-pound acne guy that seems really shady, you know. I'm like, really? I got to get out? You know, like I can't sleep in and stay in your place. And I would walk the streets of, I lived in Van Nuys. I don't like admitting that. I lived in Van Nuys for, you know, for 9 months, and I walked Ventura Boulevard looking for a job and sweating, stuffed up around 3 p.m. I'd finally clear up from the cat hair thing, and I'd apply at places like that. I was so much better than like Panda Express, and they would never hire me because I was so. I was like, do you have a management position? You know what I mean? Like already like scheming, you know? Hilarious. Sobriety's been a trip, you know. I got into the book, and my sponsor had me. My first sponsor had me start at the beginning, you know, at the very very beginning, and. That's a trip. You know, I started at the front cover. I wrote my name, my sobriety date, and my phone number. You know, I opened up to Bill's story, page one. He said, and he put me back to the front cover. And he said, this is where we start. He's like, what's it say there? And I'm like, it doesn't say anything. What, are you blind? He goes, that's what you know. Nothing. I'm like, fair enough. Let's start from scratch. And he showed me, he had me draw the circle and the triangle because of my third edition. It's not in there. It used to be in there. And I drew that, and he explained unity, service, and recovery, you know, the threefold solution. And he broke down where the steps are in the reading. You'll hear different things from different people about how to work this program. And I hope if you're new or if you've been here a while, to figure that out and what that means for you. The funny thing is, you don't have to do any of it. You don't have to go to meetings. You don't have to get a sponsor. You don't have to get commitments. You don't have to sit in the front row. You don't have to go to 90 and 90. You don't even have to stop drinking, you know. To be a member, you just have to have an honest desire. What I found out was an honest desire only gets me so far. If I want to stick around, the next page, the first time it mentions that, the next page, it tells me that if I want to stick around, I got to work with other alcoholics strenuously. And that means I got to go out of my way. That means like when I got plans, I skip them. And I do what I know is best and stick my hand out and say, hey, is there anything I can do for you? And the first thought is, I don't want to do this. And as soon as I'm doing it, and I see that click happen, and they say thanks, and sometimes they don't, I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? And it blows me away. I got a new sponsor at 7 years, because I had been resting on my laurels for many years. And resting on my laurels, I'll tell you, I had at my seven-year birthday, I had 15 sponsees. Of those 15, 13 I was meeting with on a weekly or biweekly basis. I was making it to about 10 to 12. I was able to make it to about 10 to 12 meetings a week. I had commitments at three of them. I was secretary. I was speaking on average about 4 or 5 times a month. That's like once a week, maybe sometimes twice a week, 3 times a week. It just depends. I was a big fish in my head. And I found out, I talked to my sponsor and told him all this, and he said, how's your prayer and meditation? I said, oh. Touch base in the car. You know, it's pretty quick. It's what's up, big homie. Thanks for all this. Thank you for doing what you do. Thanks for being you. This is a cool life. Thank you. He's like, okay, but you don't hit your knees and you don't like dedicate that time. I said, no. Meditation? Every. He's like, never. I'm like, pretty much. Said, what about written inventory? Said, a spot check. pretty prompt, you know, to admit when I'm wrong. You know, pretty good. And goes, nothing pen to paper? Oh, no. I mean, well, no. Okay. I'm going to put you on my phone as H.A. Ritchie. I'm sorry, H.A.? Yeah, half-ass. Really? Are you sure? Well, even with the 15 and the 10 to 12 and the... No, speaking. I speak a lot, and he's like, I was hoping I could get at least 3/4, you know, and he wasn't going for it. And what I found out was that I had my program was unbalanced for me. I'm not telling you how to work your program. I would never tell anyone how to work their program. I hope you find what it works for you. And for me, I didn't drop. It just sort of happened that my sponsees went elsewhere. And I lowered my meetings to, you know, I go to about 5-6 meetings a week now. Got commitments at about 3 of them. And I've only got about 4 or 5 sponsees right now. But I inventory almost daily. I have a daily program now that I'm pretty good about. There are some gaps. I was looking at it with my sponsor today. And there's definitely some gaps where I miss it. I can always tell by my journal, you know, and there was an 8-day gap recently. And but that's a long time. I realized, you know, what else I noticed was that it's not like that anymore. It used to be the gaps were big and frequent. Now the gaps are smaller and less frequent. And I love my life today. If you're new, I hope you stick around long enough to see through the people that relapse and the people that talk big game but don't walk big game. And I hope you see that there's a lot of people here that do the deal. And when I tell you about a program that I work today and the books that I read and the journaling and the gratitude list, and I wrote a love letter to myself today. I wrote a love letter. That's not in the book. That is nowhere in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was recommended to me from a different book that's not AA related. But I thought it was such a nifty idea that I started writing love letters to myself. My sponsor and I, we both did it. We went out and got stationery. This is so embarrassing. It's really cute. I like my stationery. I use a red pen because I think it's really sexy. If I want a love letter, I want it in red ink. I think that's cute. I started off my dearest Richard, and that's me. I go and I tell myself something I love about me. And when I first wrote it, the first one I wrote was so funky and so foreign because I am uncomfortable with myself. What has dawned on me in this almost year of doing this now is I haven't loved myself. I have a hard time loving me still, with the step work, with the friends, with the life, this amazing life that I have. And what I'm learning today is I'm not too shabby. The steps have allowed me to become a human being, nothing more, nothing less. I've made so many mistakes in this program, some big, some small, some sideways, some this, some that, but I've done some pretty cool things. I'm a mixed bag, you know? And the cool thing is, if I work this program and continue to be honest with my sponsor and my higher power, the sky's the limit. You know, I can have the most amazing life today, and I do. And I love my life. And if you're new, if you're old, if you're used, stick around, you know. Jump into this thing. Ask us what we do, you know. Talk to us. Thank you for my life.